to do with the history of Israel and some other things that list so many different names. But some are more impressionable than others. I know that when I was, I think those of you who are saved went through similar circumstances. And some people that come into this world end up going to hell. Some end up going to heaven. And some, when they go to heaven, they're overjoyed to be there. But after they're saved, they don't pay a whole lot of attention to things that are important. Some pay more attention than others. But God puts His seed in every person that's saved. And God is much more gracious than we are. We have great difficulty in forgiving one another and not criticizing one another unjustly. But there is no one quite like God. My favorite hymn is, I guess, pretty much the same as most of yours, Amazing Grace. Who goes to heaven? Who goes to hell? Well, Paul said that he went from house to house, the Apostle Paul, teaching repentance toward God. Most people always look upon a seed in the Bible, or sometimes, a lot of times, as the seed born of a woman. And the Bible does say, born of a woman. But who gave the first Adam his life? God. What was his name? Jehovah. That was the holiest name, and they would at times refer to him as Elohim. We're so used to always just thinking of Mary giving birth to Christ. And, you know, who gave Adam his birth, the first Adam? A man. God. You say, who gave your new birth? God. And the Hebrews, at one time, they taught quite frequently that the Messiah would be born of a man. And some of them actually wore baggy pants, so they would tie binds around their lower leg in case they gave birth while they were out performing something. You say, that's the craziest thing I ever heard. Oh my goodness, you have heard, I've heard some lot crazier things than that. But I was born of God, and who gave the last Adam his birth? God. How many gods are there? There's just one. And he operates, he has operated in three different offices. The office of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now when we come into this world, all we're aware of is our source of our milk. Whether it comes out of a human body, or whether it comes out of a mother's body, or whether it comes out of a bottle, that's what's on our mind all the time. It's kind of ironic that God gives you His Spirit in you when He saves you. And it's God's grace that made that possible. And he said, Paul said he taught repentance toward God. And this God, Elohim, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so, you come into this world and all you think about is food, survival. You say, well, I don't remember that. God knows that. That's why you're born under the blood of Christ. And it covers you. But the day came in your life when you realized something was missing in your life. God bothered you about it. And the Holy Spirit, in the person of the Son of Man, the Son of God, actually came and began to convict you. You either accepted that offer of grace and repented toward this God who was bothering you. You didn't know his name was Elohim. Nor did I. I just knew there was a heaven and a hell. And I knew that something was wrong with me. When did that first start to hit you? Oh, probably about age 4 years old. I learned how to get things my way by using my crying and all sorts of other different things. Didn't see anything wrong with it. It was very effective. I remember as time passed, I finally saw myself as flawed, self-centered. And I didn't walk around all the time worrying about being self-centered. I was just worried about survival. But when I finally did get saved, I was desperate. I had tried for several years to please God. And I tried to please Him without repenting toward God and putting my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I knew about His grace, but I was thoroughly confused about what I was supposed to do. When I got desperate enough, I came to Jesus Christ and asked Him to save me. Once I did, there was a tremendous relief in my life. Now, salvation is not something that is based on feelings. But you really do feel good when all that anxiety and all that concern that the Lord is bothering you about is trying to lead you to repent and to receive His Son as your Savior. So after you do that, you think, well, that's great, you know, and you go home, whether it's from a revival or whether it's just from a daily experience, and you ask God to save you. Well, you've been convicted. He saves you. Then the first thing you do is you start to wonder if you did it right. Did you say it right? Were you sincere when you did it? Been bothering you for a long time, hadn't it? Whatever it was, you knew there was a heaven and a hell, and you didn't want to go to hell. He said, well, mine wasn't quite like that. Well, I wonder why. And finally, you got desperate enough that you believed God would do what He said. And in desperation, you went to Him and asked Him to save you. And He did. But then you went home, and after a while, you began to wonder, did I do this right? Did I do that right? Was I really sincere? Was I really honest? And you've been under conviction all that time. And finally, you accepted His grace by coming to Him and asking Him personally to save you. You didn't know His name was Jehovah. You didn't know His name was Yahweh. You didn't know anything except there was a heaven and a hell. But God made it very plain that there is a heaven and there is a hell. We had a good Sunday school lesson on that this morning. Exceptionally good. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about that, because some people go a long, long time before they get saved. And people, after they get saved, they're relieved about it. But then they start wondering about it. You say, well, what happens? They really get concerned. And they begin to wonder about their faith, their salvation, and everything else. How many different churches are there that call themselves churches, ecclesias, assemblies? How many of those churches teach exactly the same thing? They don't. You say, well, how am I going to know? You're sitting here. I'm going to talk to you about this. And whatever stage you're in, I don't know, but if you came to God, if you came and you wanted to be saved, and you asked the Lord to save you because you couldn't save yourself, and you were concerned about it, you're in the right place. Now, I'm talking about seeking God, and there's a couple of misspellings in this first large heading, because I was really kind of concerned about some other things. Goal of a saved soul is to seek God by walking in His way so that He will judge you. W-I-L-L is misspelled. And you got U-U in there twice. That's another mistake. Thank God I make mistakes. Otherwise, I'd think I was heavenly and divinely blessed. God doesn't make mistakes. And He doesn't get upset when I make them like this and then come over here and wish I could change them. Because that's vanity. He says, judge you worthy in His heavenly manifestation of you. Now, you get saved by grace, but it's acceptance of the grace and the realization there's a heaven and a hell, and you certainly do not want to go to hell, and you certainly do not want God to put you there, and you certainly do not want to send yourself there. So you exercise faith, and when you exercise faith, you get saved. You'll be amazed after you get saved how much you can learn about baptism, about what the churches were like before Jesus, the ecclesias, church in the wilderness, what the people of the Old Testament were like. You'll be amazed. You say, well, can you prove that to us? Well, you just get saved and you'll be discovering a lot of things you never knew before. And so I want to talk about that to you, because I've been looking for that ever since I got saved. I was just as saved the day I got saved as I am right now when I finally, in desperation, went to God, repented toward God. And you say, well, did you know what His name was? No, His name was Jesus, as far as I was concerned. You say, well, is Jesus God? Yes. Yes, He is God. You say, well, I'm not sure of that. Well, you don't have to be sure of that. Are you afraid of heaven and hell? Then all you have to do is ask Jesus to save you. And you've accepted His grace. And you've repented of your sins. And you're ready to find happiness in life. Guess who's going to be after you for the rest of your life? The devil. Guess what you're going to do the rest of your life? Try to run away from him? You say, that's not natural. That's very natural, because you've still got a carnal nature. You say, oh no, God cleansed that. No, the first God was, Jesus made a, God made the first Adam a living soul. But He made the second and last Adam a quickening spirit. I wasn't born again until I was about 12 years old. And all of a sudden, I went to Jesus after trying so hard and being drugged to church constantly, and I'm glad they did, and teaching me about what God wanted out of my life. You say, is that normal? Oh, that is so normal, you wouldn't believe it. That's what happens to people. So your life is kind of messed up because if you decide, well, now I'm saved, and everything's going to be fine, it won't be just fine. You'll discover that you're going to suffer some persecution. You're going to find some unhappiness if you don't continue to walk in the way that God teaches you in His Word. That's what I'm going to talk about. Hope you listen, because it changed the way I think, the way I feel. And I'd like to just show you something here. Both of you that are in your own minds, you think you're faithful, faithful, faithful. Those of you who are concerned and you think, I hope I am saved. And those of you who don't know what you believe. Because this is the way it is. Hebrews 11, 5 through 6. I hope you'll think this over. Because this is your life. It's the only one you get in the flesh. So you might as well take advantage of it. Because it has eternal consequences if you don't. Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch, was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. Okay, you get saved. You accept God's grace. You repent of your sins. Paul taught it house to house. And then put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Now go ahead and be miserable for the rest of your life. Don't come to church. Don't learn any more about the God who saved you, about Jesus. Don't learn any more about it. And just be miserable for the rest of your life and feel guilty. That's exactly what will happen. And I can't do anything except tell you about it. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. I could not please Him until I was saved. You say, well, I know lots of people believe in God. Yeah, I know a lot of angels that believe in God. Believing in God after you're saved is what keeps you in fellowship with Him. You say, well, what do I have to do? He wants to feed you. Your mother fed you after you were saved. That's all you thought about when you were born. If you can come to church, come to church. If you can't, I can't help you, because I'm too old to get out there and go after you. And it's something you ought to think about. You know what your greatest witness is? Your greatest witness is that people can see Christ in you. And you have a church life right here. You can come to this church building for the rest of your life. Come sick, come not sick, come cold, come hot. You can do that. But when you lose interest in Christ, you don't lose your salvation. But you go right back into that same old state you were in. And you're uncertain about your future. Why do you do that? Because there's a devil. He doesn't like what you're doing. You're saved. He can't come in and unsave you. He doesn't control the 7-Up Uncola. He can't change it. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know why I'm sitting here very happy? I'm going to tell you in a minute. You say, how do we know you're telling the truth? You don't. But you're a human being. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If God starts bothering you during this message, it's not because I'm lying. It's because maybe you kind of want to get saved and then do whatever you want and stay in fellowship with God. You can't lose your salvation. But you'll think you can if you don't stay in fellowship with him. You say, that's not fair. Don't you tell me what's fair. I know what God says is fair. And I had to find out over a long period of time. And I'm supposed to share it with you. And that's what I'm trying to do. You know what I've been trying to do? I'm still trying to please him when I don't please him. I don't wait 2 or 3 days before I get back in fellowship with him. I just tell him I was wrong, Lord, and I'm sorry, and please forgive me. Oh, wait a minute. God won't let you get away with that. You don't know the God I know. You say, well, did you know that the night you got saved? No. And I didn't know it, and I didn't. But finally, God taught me. You say, did he whisper in your ear? No. He got me interested in what he had to say. And I discovered that he's meek and lowly. So let's take a look at this. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. You know, that's 65 years. I wonder what happened to that. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You know what would have made Enoch miserable? To think he was perfect. That would have made him miserable. Do you know why he stayed in fellowship? He liked it. He loved it. He liked it. You say, well, why am I always wondering about things? You've made his yoke heavy. You've made it a burden. You don't love him like you should. I don't love him like I should. So let's talk a little bit about that. We're going to go through this, and I'll just get as far as I can to let you out on time because I'd like for you to come back. Matthew 11, 28, 29. You remember when you were under a heavy burden of guilt and sin, and you didn't quite know why, but you just were under a heavy burden of guilt and sin. It was a burden. It was a burden. It was a burden. It bothered you. If you thought baptism would save you, you'd get baptized. If you thought praying would save you, you'd get bad. You'd pray. And you'd be miserable. Let's take a look at what it says next. There's a heavy burden there. And I will give you rest. I will never forget the night I was saved. You say, well, was it on a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, a Friday, a Saturday, a Sunday? You ever hear me sing that song? All I remember, it was a revival. And since I had hit about age, maybe 5, maybe 4, I had known something was definitely wrong with me, and I didn't want to go to hell. You say, you got to remember the exact day and time. You don't trust God, do you? God knows when it was. I know what happened. And I know what it was like after that. I know what it is like right now. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I wasn't going to go to hell. Hallelujah. You said, you really believe that? And I said, yeah. You say, well, your salvation is based on feeling. Baloney. You say, well, what? Do you expect me to feel bad? I just got saved and I'm going to heaven. I feel bad. No, I believed I was going to heaven. I believed Jesus saved me. And so I went home. Do you know that next day I wondered if I did it right? Was I sincere? God, did I really repent? I'd listened to so many preachers preaching so many different things. There's several different ways to get saved. But there's only one way to get saved. Repentance toward God. And when you realize you're going to heaven or hell, and you don't quite know how to get there, run to Jesus and ask Him to save you. You say, well, how do I know that'll prove that He'll do, He will? He said He would. Believe His Word. He is the living Word. And a heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He gave me rest. Didn't last very long. Pretty soon, I wasn't going back to my old ways, but I was scared to death. I thought, maybe I didn't do this. He says, so I was right back again. I wasn't lost, but something was still missing. What on earth was missing? And are heavy laden, take my yoke upon you. That's why I got baptized. I took His yoke upon me. And it took me a long time to do it. I was 23 years old when I was baptized properly. Some churches, they just run you up to the baptismal thing. You don't have any idea what you're doing. You say, well, I wasn't that way. Yes, you were. Don't tell me you understood everything. You didn't understand zip until you understood your how to stay in fellowship with God. So I took my yoke upon it, on myself, and I began to learn about Him. Wow, what an experience. He's marvelous. He's wonderful. I can't lose my salvation. People are always worried about, did you join the right church? Because of God, I did. I joined a Landmark Missionary Baptist Church. I didn't go around moving the landmarks. I didn't go around changing what God said. And here I am. And lowly in heart. You see, that's not talking about you. That's talking about Jesus. How about you? All power in heaven and in earth is given unto Him. All, that's what He said. That's what He said just before He gave the Great Commission to the local church. He said, and to every local church. This is not a universal invisible body here. This is a local, visible body of scripturally baptized believers who are coveted together to carry out God's commandment as He directs. Man, after I got baptized, I thought, this is so much better. I knew I couldn't lose my salvation. Well, there I was. Pretty soon, Korean War broke out. And I was away from church for a long time for different military reasons. Then after that, the Vietnam War broke out, and there I was again. I retired out of the National Security Agency. I guess you could call me a spy. I was a lot of things in there. And God called me to preach. Well, God had pretty well prepared me because all I knew was what God had taught me through His Word. And I had learned about Him. What did I learn? I wasn't meek and lowly in heart. You say, well, that's just speaking figuratively. No, it's not. You're lowly in heart, aren't you? He doesn't talk to me, but he's lowly in heart. And yet he has all power in heaven and earth. He said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. You say, well, what does that mean? It means I don't worry about going to hell anymore. You say, well, what are you trying to do? What I'm doing right now. This is what God called me to do. He didn't call me to be a deacon. But in case you're interested, I do believe he calls some deacons, but I can't prove that. But I can prove that he calls a lot of them to preach. And I've seen a lot of deacons I'd a lot rather listen to than some preachers I know. And that's a terrible thing to say, but that's what I have experienced. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. I've pastored this church now for Lord knows how long, 40 some odd years. And you know what the next verse is? Man, the first years I went through here in this church, here I had been saved, I had been scripturally baptized, I tried to do what God wanted, it wasn't easy. But it is now. You know why? The next verse that follows, verse 29, is this. For my yoke, verse above it, for my yoke is easy. Verse above that, and my burden is light. You say, I don't believe that. I do. I do. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You say, well, why do you know that all power in heaven and earth is given unto him? What was I called to do? To do what I'm doing right now. You say, why are you doing it? Because I love every one of you. And because I've watched all of you grow up. And I've watched myself grow up. And I'm not haughty anymore. I'm not haughty anymore. All I have to do is what God wants. This is what he wants. I can't do any more than this. I wasn't saved by grace didn't save me. But accepting his grace, that's what saved me. John. Now in Matthew 6:33, you want to know if you're saved and you still feel something's wrong? This is when what he said in Matthew 6:33, he was talking to the disciples. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'm trying to find out more about the Lord. Right, Robert? You know what Robert and I are? We're a couple of knuckleheads. You know what Chuck Trustee is? He's a knucklehead. And do you know what we're trying to do? We're trying to find out as much about God as we can so we can pass it on to you as God leads us. That's what we're trying to do. That's what this church is all about. So you say, what are you trying to impress us with? I want you to get saved. You say, God wants that. I know that. It is not God's will that any should perish. It never was God's will, but that all should come to repentance. Okay, you've come to repentance. You've been saved. Okay. Then come on to the Lord and start serving him in a local church and put it first on your category of let's do this. You say, well, you tell me I'll be unhappy. Not if you stay long enough. Not if you stay long enough. He says, John 14, 5 and 6. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? This man had already been saved, scripturally baptized, and followed the Lord for some time. And the Lord had just given him what he needed to know to do this. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You want to know who Jesus Christ is? He's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he's fulfilled all those offices and is still fulfilling them. That's who he is. He's the firstborn. That's who he is. You say, well, that's the strangest stuff I ever heard. It wasn't strange during the first 4 years after the church was organized. I'm just going to have to be plain about it. The Catholic Church is the one that came out and made it. And he said they make Mary immaculate. She's not immaculate. I was born of a man. The man Christ Jesus. That's who I was born of. You say, well, that I never heard of that. You better start thinking about it. Because all power in heaven and earth is given unto him. He's God. I spent a lot of time teaching this, and I'll continue to as long as God gives me life. Now let's go back a little bit before this, and let's go back to John 13, 31 to 14, 1. Therefore, when he was gone out, I wonder who that is, Judas Iscariot. God got rid of him before he took the Lord's Supper. Jesus Christ got rid of him before he took the Lord's Supper. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. God shall also glorify him in himself and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while, I shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, you shall seek me, just as I said unto the Jews, while I am with you, you shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. Now listen. This is what's wrong with our churches, with our pastors, with our deacons, and everybody else, especially me. He said, A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. I didn't come into this world loving God. I came to this world under the blood of Christ. When I got to the age of accountability, it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I did what Paul said. He went from house to house, teaching repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And until I finally was called to preach, and I was forced to study God's word even more than I'd ever studied because I didn't want to look like a fool, but I was called to preach, make no mistake about it, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That you also love by one another. How do you know I'm saved? How do I know Chuck Trusty's saved? How do I know you? If I passed you on the street, the new lighters say you can look in a man's eyes and tell. That's the biggest bunch of malarkey I ever heard in my life. All men know ye are my disciples. How do I know you're God's disciple? You say, well, that's none of your business. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I love you. How do I know you're in the right church? Because I'm chosen of God to do what I do. I just preach the word. If you have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee? I will lay down my life for my sake. Jesus answered and said, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Would you? Would you? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the cock shall not crow till thou shalt deny me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. He said this to the church after he got rid of Judas Iscariot. And I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and whether I know, you know, and the way you know, I know. I now know. He said, well, we don't have to take your word for that. You better consider this. Acts 14, 18 through 22. And when these sayings were restrained, they the people, then they that had done sacrifice unto him, and were come thither Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. It's a rough road. You say, well, if I serve God, everything will be all right. If you serve God, everything may not be all right. He rose up and came to the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Get saved. Join a church that's still teaching the faith once delivered to the saints. This church does. Are there others? Yes. If you leave here and don't join here, fine. But join a church that does. And the last thing, come. Listen. If you don't like it, leave. If you like it, join it. That's my advice to you. And in these last days, you better believe that's very, very important. This is not a universal church. It's not an invisible church. It's a local visible. It's not an invisible church. The Catholic Church says it's universal and invisible. The Lord said to come out of her in Revelation. The Catholic Church is wrong in what they teach. They got a lot of money. And the eyes of the world are on some of the good works she does. But if you're found in her when you come back, don't worry, you're not going to go to hell. If you came to the Lord, trusted him, did what Paul said, go ahead. But you're going to have trouble. And it is now 2 minutes past time for me to quit. If you want to join this church and you believe you're saved, then come on during the invitation and the church we'll see what the church decides to do. I need somebody to help me get up. Mike, I was hoping for somebody.